ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5. Today we're studying texts 29 and 30. Srila Prabhupada has not written anything about the purport of text 29. So we'll just read that verse and then go on to text 30. Iti tan api rajendra praja sarga dhiyo muni upetya naradak praha vachakutani purvavat. Translation. O King Parikshit, Narada Muni approached these sons of Prajapati Daksha, who were engaged in tapasya to beget children, and spoke enigmatic words to them, just as he had spoken to their elder brothers. Text 30, please say responsively. Dakshayana Sangshunuta Garato Nigamam Mama Anvichata Anuparavim Bhratrinam Bhratrin Vatsala Dakshayanak Sangshunuta Dakshayana Sangshunuta Garato Nigamang Mama Garato Nigamang Mama Anvichatanu Paravim Anvichatanu Paravim Bhratri Nang Bhratri Vatsala Bhratri Nang Bhratri Vatsala Dakshayanak Sangshunuta Garato Nigamang Mama Anvichatanu Paravim Bhratri Nang Bhratri Vatsala. Dakshayanak Sangshunuta Garato Nigamang Mama Bhratri Vatsala Sangshunuta Bhratrinam Bhratri Vatsala Dakshayana Sangshunuta Garato Nigamang Mama Anvichatanu Paravim Bhratrinam Bhratri Vatsala. Ladies. Dakshayana Sangshunuta Garato Nigamang Mama anvichatanu paradim pratrinam pratrivatsala dakshayana. O sons of Prajapati Daksha, Sangshunuta, please hear with attention. Garata, who am speaking? Nigamam, instruction. Mama, my. Anvichata, follow. Anuparavim, the path. Bratrinam, of your brothers. Bratrivatsala, O you who are very much affectionate to your brothers. Translation. O sons of Daksha, please hear my words of instruction attentively. You are all very affectionate to your elder brothers, the Haryashvas. Therefore, you should follow their path. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni encouraged Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons by awakening their natural affinity for their brothers. He urged them to follow their older brothers if they were at all affectionate toward them. Family affection is very strong, and therefore Narada Muni followed this tactic of reminding them of their family relationship with the Haryashvas. Generally, the word Nigama refers to the Vedas, but here Nigama refers to the instructions contained in the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nigamakalpa taror galitang phalam. The Vedic instructions are like a tree of which Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. Narada Muni is engaged in distributing this fruit, and therefore he instructed Vyasadeva to write this Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, for the benefit of ignorant human society. Anarto pashamang shakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaje lokasya janato vidvans chakre satvata sanghitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. That's Bhagavatam, first canto, seventh chapter. People are suffering because of ignorance and are following the wrong path for happiness. This is called anartha. These material activities will never make them happy, and therefore Narada instructed Vyasadeva to record the instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva actually followed Narada and did this. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme instruction of the Vedas. Galitang phalam, the ripened fruit of the Vedas, is Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshuramiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapidantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishishu Shunyavadi Pastrata Deshatarane Dakshayana Sangshunuta Garato Nigamang Mama Anvichatanu Paravim Bratrinang Bratrivatsala. O sons of Daksha, Please hear my words of instruction attentively. You are all very affectionate to your elder brothers, the Haryashvas. Therefore, you should follow their path. We are very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. This story is continuing about how Narada Muni became cursed. As you all know, Narada Muni, he has no fixed place of residence. He always has to keep moving from one place to another. He can't stay in any one place. So how he got to this condition is that he was cursed by Prajapati Daksha to not have any fixed place of residence. And although Narada Muni could have counteracted that curse very easily, he said, yes, this is very good. So he accepted the curse. So this is the story of how Daksha became so angry with Narada Muni that he cursed him. So this is a very nice story. Earlier in this chapter we heard how Daksha had many, many, many sons called the Haryashvas, and he wanted them to increase the population because this is just after creation and the world was in need of population, so he instructed them to prepare themselves and generate progeny. So they went to a very sacred place and performed austerities in order to fulfill their father's order to have children. And while there, they were performing great austerities, and Narada Muni saw them and realized that these were very qualified boys, but they were performing such difficult austerities, but only for a material benefit. So he instructed them in the spiritual path, free from any material benefit. Actually, he instructed them in the path of Srimad Bhagavatam, as described here. And then they followed that path and went back home, back to Godhead. And Daksha heard that his sons were not going to follow his instruction. So he tolerated one time Narada Muni. And he said, okay, maybe that was some mistake. So he tried again. He's going to try again. So he had 1,000 sons called the Shavalashvas. And he's similarly instructed them to perform austerities. And they're also performing the austerities. And Narada Muni similarly instructed them. And he spoke the same enigmatic words that he had spoken to the Haryashvas. And then he said this particular verse, text 30, in order to evoke in them some family affection for their elder brothers. So yes, Narada Muni says, yes, your elder brothers were also very qualified. You're also very qualified. They're very qualified. And they fulfilled the perfection of their life by following this path of devotional service. So you should, as good brothers, affectionate brothers, you should also follow the same path. So this was, Narada Muni is a very expert preacher. And although he instructed them, they were attracted. They were simple in heart, just like their elder brothers, the Haryashvas, were also simple in heart and were also prepared to follow the instructions of Narada Muni. But just in case there was any doubt, Narada Muni adds this additional point about following the path of their elder brothers. So this, and they, so the Shravalashvas, they also heard this instruction of Narada Muni, and they also performed devotional service and went back home, back to Godhead. So this process of instruction, nigamam, this verse, this word includes nigamam, the instructions of authorities. So the Narada Muni was giving very elevated instructions to the sons of Daksha. And specifically, Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport that this nigama that he was giving, not just ordinary instruction for spiritual advancement, but he was delivering to them Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni has no other business other than to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. He was the one who, in the first canto, there's a very nice story about how Narada Muni chastised Vyasadeva for writing all the Vedic literatures but not sufficiently glorifying Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Vyasadeva accepted that instruction and then composed Srimad Bhagavatam, which is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one place, Srimad Bhagavatam is composed in such a way that it's not possible to interpret it as a way to follow material path. Many Vedic literatures describe material, how one can become materially elevated without committing sin. Because this is helpful. If someone is inclined for material activities, they should do it in a sinless way, and by performing such sinless activities, they can eventually become disgusted with the process of material elevation and take to higher practice of spiritual life. So Narada Muni he's only instructing Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit. Just like now the mango trees are starting to bear fruit, we can see. This is the time of year. But their fruits are still, at least in this neighborhood, they're still green. So if you try to eat a green mango, then it has some sour taste, very sour taste. But when it's mature, completely mature and ripe, then mangoes taste very sweet. So the Vedic literature is like a tree that's producing many fruits. It produces sour fruits and bitter fruits, and also, but Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit, is the ripened fruit, the sweet fruit of the Vedas. So this Srila Prabhupada glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam, especially here. And he quotes this famous verse from first canto, Anarto Pasamang Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Adhokshaje Lokasya Janato Vidvangs Chakre Satvata Sanghitam. The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compile this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. So, everyone is searching after happiness. This is the nature of the living entity, to search for happiness. But how happiness can be obtained, there are many different opinions. materialists have opinions about how to become happy. But that happiness ultimately ends in frustration. And the Vedas also, many proponents of the Vedas, they also recommend processes of sacrifice for elevation to heavenly planets, etc. So this is also a path to happiness, but that happiness also ends in frustration. After becoming elevated to the heavenly planets, one must fall down again to this material world. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature, ripened fruit of the Vedic literature. Nigama kalpa toror galitang mukam galitang phalam shukamukad amrita dravasam yutam pipata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuroho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. So this is the third verse of first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's describing about how the Bhagavatam is the mature fruit. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's commented on this important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about Galitang Phalam very nicely. As defined in its third shloka, Srimad Bhagavatam is the succulent fruit of the Kalpataru, desire-yielding tree of the Vedas. Non-devotees crave for dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. The mental determination of those whose desires for enjoyment or emancipation have been set at rest and who have passed beyond the realm of mental speculation is not after such insipid or unsavory things. In other words, those who are actually aspiring for ultimate welfare, they're not interested in these dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. They've surpassed these desires. The Bhagavatam does not produce fruits of bad taste, nor does it produce tasteless ones. Meaning, fruits of bad taste are dharma, artha, and kama, and tasteless fruits is moksha. Moksha, there's no taste in moksha. It can be fully traced in the Bhagavatam how the distinction between the inner thoughts of the Vishaya, the recipient of service, and the Ashraya, the giver of service, undergoes gradual development as the Ashraya's consciousness evolves through the various stages of being covered, shrunken, budding, slightly blossoming, and fully blossoming. So these are someone who's... This is the different stages of covering. Living entities within this material world, they're covered. In the lowest forms of life, they're completely covered over. And then they have the next stage of development is they have a shrunken consciousness, like the animals. Animals have some consciousness. They have some conception of working for their own happiness, but it's shrunken. And then budding consciousness is when one starts to understand that there is an ultimate goal of life. And then when one comes into contact with with spiritual personalities, then one's described as having slightly blossoming. And then when one fully absorbs oneself in devotional service, then one's described as having fully blossomed consciousness. So these different stages are described. Those who have fully surpassed the various levels of material consciousness and have reached the stage of transcendental excellence wherein their hearts have been illuminated with the mode of goodness, are competent to taste this ripened fruit, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Only someone who's past these lower stages is competent to taste this fruit of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Only they are fit to receive the sweet mellow of divine love. And only they are permanently possessed of the purest ecstatic mood. This fruit is succulent. It has nothing solid in it, such as skin, stone, fibers, and other parts that are fit to be abandoned. When you eat a mango, you have to throw away the skin and then throw away the seed. No, the Bhagavatam is not like that. From beginning to end, inside and out, it is fully succulent and tasty. The books on topics of material enjoyment such as karma, jnana, yoga, or mixed devotion are full of useless elements like the skin and seed. However, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are no such despicable elements. Its sweet, succulent mellow is always relishable, even after liberation. The Mayavadis, they talk about how if one becomes liberated, then one's completely happy and one has no need for anything else. But the Bhagavatam is described as being even relishable for the liberated souls. And the truly liberated souls who are those who always relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the description. If someone is truly liberated, the symptom is that they're always relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks in a very nice way about how he came to Krishna consciousness through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very nice story. When we were in college, reading philosophical works of the West and exchanging thoughts with the thinkers of the day, we had a real hatred toward the Bhagavat. The great work looked like a collection of wicked and stupid ideas, scarcely adapted to the 19th century. And we hated to hear any arguments in its favor. To us then, the volumes of Channing, Parker, Emerson, and Newman had more weight than all the Vaishnava books. Greedily, we pored over the various commentaries of the Bible and of the labors of the Tattva Bodhini Sabha, which contained extracts from the Upanishads and the Vedanta, but no work of the Vaishnavas had any favor with us. When we advanced in age and our religious sentiment developed, we turned to our own belief and prayed as Jesus prayed in the garden. Accidentally, we came across a book about the great Chaitanya, and on reading it with some attention in order to settle the historical position of that mighty genius of Nadia, we had the opportunity of gathering his explanation of the Bhagavat given to the wrangling Vedantists of the Benares school. This accidental study created within us a love for all the works that we find about our Eastern Savior, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With difficulty, we gathered the famous Karachas, the diaries in Sanskrit written by the disciples of Chaitanya. The explanations of the Bhagavat that we got from these sources were of such a charming character that we secured a copy of the complete Bhagavat. We studied its texts, difficult, of course, for those not trained in philosophical thoughts, with the assistance of the famous commentaries of Sridhar Swami. From such study, we have gathered the real doctrines of the Vaishnavas. Oh, what a trouble to get rid of prejudices gathered in unripe years. So this is how I came to Krishna consciousness, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then while trying to understand, of course he had exposure growing up in Calcutta, he had exposure to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but did not take it very seriously. So then when he heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a little interest later on in his life, and he began to study about the life of Chaitanya, and then he came to understand, came to appreciate something of the Bhagavatam, and then he took up the study of the Bhagavatam. And then he gives a nice, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a nice story about why the why the Western gentlemen who come to India, they don't have a very good impression about the Bhagavatam. What sort of thing is the Bhagavat? Asked a European gentleman newly arrived in India. With a serene look, his companion tells him, "The Bhagavat is a book that an Oriya bearer reads daily in the evening to a number of hearers. It contains jargon of unintelligible and savage writing of those men who paint their noses with some sort of clay or sandalwood and wear beads all over their bodies to secure salvation for themselves." Another of his companions, who has traveled a little in the interior, would immediately contradict him and say, The Bhagavad is a Sanskrit work claimed by a sect of men, the Goswamis, who give mantras to the common people, like the popes of Italy, and pardon their sins on payment of enough gold to pay their social expenses. A third gentleman will give a third explanation. A young Bengali, chained up in English thoughts and ideas, and wholly ignorant of the pre-Mohammedan history of his own country, will add one more explanation. He will say, "The Bhagavad is a book containing an account of the life of Krishna, who was an ambitious and immoral man." This is all that he could gather from his grandmother before he went to school. Thus the great Bhagavat remains unknown to the foreigners, like the elephant of the six blind men who were caught hold of different parts of the body of the beast. But truth is eternal and is never injured but for a while by ignorance. So as we see from the life of Srila Prabhupada how this Bhagavad is no longer unintelligible to the Westerners by his mercy. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur has predicted that. He says, by saying truth is eternal and is never injured but for a while by ignorance. So Srila Prabhupada has described the truth of the Bhagavatam in such a way that even the Westerners, the fallen lechas and yavanas of the West have been able to appreciate. So this Bhagavatam is glorified in many, many other Vedic literatures. So I thought I would read also, in addition to hearing from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, I thought I would read something from Skanda Purana, also glorifying the Bhagavatam. We can understand we can come to appreciate the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam and come to by understanding the glories of the Bhagavatam, we can become full, unmitigated relishers of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and relishing Srimad Bhagavatam becomes our life and soul. This is the perfection of life. So Skanda Purana says, "Srimad Bhagavatam Shastram Yatra Bhagavataya Yada Kirtyate Shruyate Chapi Shri Krishna's Tatra Nishtitam." Wherever and whenever devotees of Bhagavan recite and listen to the scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, there for certain Sri Krishna is present. Srimad Bhagavatam Yatra Shlokam Shlokardham Evacha Tatrapi Bhagavan Krishna Ballavibir Virajate. Wherever a single verse or even half a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is heard, the personality of Godhead Krishna shines forth along with the gopis. Bharate manavam janma prapya bhagavatam nayai shrutang papa paradhinayar atma ghatas tutayar krita. Those who have taken a human birth in the land of Bharat but have not heard the Bhagavatam are slaves of sin and commit spiritual suicide. Srimad Bhagavatam Shastram Nityam Yaik Parisevitam Pitur Matus Jabharyaya Kulapankti Sutadita. The fathers, mothers, wives, and whole family lines of those who regularly serve the scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, are all easily delivered from material existence. So if you think you have some obligation to your forefathers, mother, father, what does it say? Bratri. Sorry, I lost my place. Pitur matus chabharyaya kula punktir sutadita. The fathers, mothers, wives, and whole family lines of those who regularly serve the scripture Bhagavatam are all easily delivered from material existence without any separate endeavor. Vidya prakasho vipranam ragyam shatru jayo visham dhanang svasyam chashudranam srimad bhagavatad bhavet. On the strength of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmins develop wisdom, kings conquer their enemies, Vaishyas gain wealth, and Shudras become prosperous. Yoshitam apareshang cha sarva vanchita puranam ato bhagavatam nityanko na seveta bhagyavan. Women and others obtain everything they desire. Thus, what fortunate person would fail to regularly serve the Bhagavatam? Aneka janma sang siddhe srimad bhagavatam labhet prakaso bhagavat bhakter udbhavas tattva jayate. As a perfection of many lifetimes, one may obtain Srimad Bhagavatam. In it, the revelation of devotion to the Supreme Lord is born. So, Skanda Purana continues, after glorifying the Bhagavatam, Skanda Purana continues to just tell a very nice story about the wives of Lord Krishna. After the disappearance of Krishna, Arjuna brought all the wives of Krishna to Vrindavan, Vrajabhumi, and he put them under the care of Vadranaba, Krishna's great-great-grandson. And Maharaj Pariksit was also present there in Vrindavan. And the Mahishis, the queens, they were all feeling great separation from Krishna after his disappearance. But they were wandering around Vrindavan lamenting under the care of Vadranab. But then they noticed that Kalindi, one of the queens, was looking very happy. And they inquired from her. They were not envious or jealous. They were just very humbly and submissive. They approached her and they said, "So, how is it that we're feeling very great separation, but you're feeling very happy? How is it? Please explain to us." So, she said, "Actually, you think you're separated from Krishna, but Krishna's present with us. Krishna's always present with here in Vrindavan, and he's always present with you. So there's no need to lament." So the gopi said, the Mahishi said, "Oh really? Krishna's present? How can we find him? How can we find Krishna?" So they said, at one time the gopis previously, when the gopis were with you in Dwarka, they were having the same problem. They were feeling separation from Krishna because Krishna had left for Mathura and Dwarka. They were crying in separation. So they were wanting to know how they could have association with Krishna. So Krishna knew this in Dwarka. So he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to give consolation and solace to the gopis in Vrindavan. So Uddhava went there, and by his appearance and his sweet talks about Krishna. And by his dealings with them, he gave some relief to the gopis. So, just before Krishna left this world, he told Uddhava to go to preach Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, you know Srimad Bhagavatam, I've spoken to you, Srimad Bhagavatam. Now you should preach Srimad Bhagavatam. And he sent him to Badrikashrama in the Himalayas. So, but Kalindi said, but he's also here in Vrindavan. So we should try to gain his association. So all the Mahishis with Badranab, they went to Kusum Sarovar. And they started kirtan. And they were all playing veenas and mridangas and kartals and drums. They had so many, 16,108 Mahishis. They had a huge roaring kirtan on the bank of Kusum Sarovar. Just feeling great separation from Krishna, having this huge, huge kirtan. And right in the middle of the kirtan, Uddhava comes from out of the bushes. Uddhava appears there. And then he offers his respects to all the queens of Dwarka, all of Krishna's queens. And then he approaches Maharaj Parikshit, and Maharaj Parikshit explains the situation. And then Uddhava says, so you, yes, I will certainly speak Srimad Bhagavatam, but you will hear Bhagavatam later from Shukadeva Goswami. So you have many works to do to protect the kingdom. So you go and perform your activities of ruling the kingdom, and later you will have opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. So then he began to speak to the Mahishis about Srimad Bhagavatam. And he told some very nice things about the glories of the Bhagavatam. He says, in the past, Uddhava said, Brihaspati received Srimad Bhagavatam by the grace of Sankhyayan, and Brihaspati gave it to me. Because of this, I have become dear to Krishna. Now, O Vishnurata, he was speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. Before he speaks Srimad Bhagavatam to the Mahishis, he tells something about the glories of Bhagavatam. So he's speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Hear from me a narration I heard from Brihaspati. From this account, you can understand the specific succession of this Vedic text, the Bhagavatam. Brihaspati said, when Krishna, assuming the form of the Lord of Maya, the Purusha, glanced at her, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva appeared, along with the modes of passion, goodness, and ignorance. These three persons rose up, and the Lord assigned them their responsibilities to work for generation, protection, and destruction. Brahma then took another birth from the lotus growing from the Lord's navel and inquired from the Lord. Brahma said, O Narayan, original person, supreme soul, my obeisance is unto you. You have engaged me in creating. By remembrance of you and by your mercy, O Master, may the sinful mode of passion not obstruct me. When at that time, long ago, the personality of Godhead taught Brahma, Srimad Bhagavatam, Brihaspati said, he told him, Dear Brahma, serve this scripture to achieve your perfection. Most pleased, Brahma took the Bhagavatam and instituted the constant performance of the seven-day recital for achieving Krishna and destroying the seven coverings of material existence. Attaining all his desires by observing the seven-day recital of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma expands the creation regularly, week after week, again and again. Vishnu also prayed to the Supreme Person for achieving his personal goal, since the Lord had appointed him to maintain those who are born into the universe. Vishnu said, O Lord, as is fit, I am going to protect the universe's progeny by the paths of fruitive work and renunciation. Whenever in the course of time the principles of religion will decline, I will reestablish Dharma by various incarnations. But how can I maintain those who do not want even liberation? How will I maintain Goddess Sri and myself? Please tell me. That original person then taught Vishnu the supreme Srimad Bhagavatam. Study this scripture to achieve all their ultimate success. In the company of Goddess Sri, he remembered Srimad Bhagavatam month after month. When Vishnu himself is the speaker and Lakshmi is intent on listening, the hearing of the Bhagavatam is completed in 1 month. When Lakshmi herself is the speaker and Vishnu is eager to hear, the relishing of the book takes 2 months. Then it is especially wonderful. When Vishnu can properly assume his responsibilities, Lakshmi's mind becomes free from worry. Thus she is seen constantly relishing the Bhagavatam. So actually, even Lord Vishnu cannot function without constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Lakshmi Devi. Then Rudra, appointed the task of destruction, also prayed to the Supreme Lord to increase his ability to do his duty. Rudra said, O Lord of Lord, my master, I possess the power for constant and occasional destruction. I lack the power, however, for ultimate destruction. This causes me great distress, and so I am praying to you. Lord Narayan then gave Rudra the Srimad Bhagavatam. By serving it, he conquered the mode of ignorance. Lord Sadashiv observed the recitation of the Bhagavatam in the course of 1 year, and then he obtained the power for ultimate destruction. So then he tells Parikshit, I will now speak the Srimad Bhagavatam to the Mahishis. You go about your duties and you'll hear Bhagavatam later. Then Uddhava speaks to the gopis. So he talks about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says, therefore, by my desire, I always live here at Narada Kun, near to Kusum Sarovar at Govardhan Hill. Krishna reveals himself to his devotees through Srimad Bhagavatam. So to achieve the purposes of these devotees, I'm going to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. You should help me. So Uddhava said, now that Sri Krishna has abandoned the earth, Kali will become a strong force on its surface. He will create great disturbances as unwanted population increases. Therefore, I will observe this 1 month Vaishnava custom. With your assistance, I will thus disseminate the relishing of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we can see then Uddhava, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam for 1 month to the queens of Krishna, and they all relished this pastime, and they felt, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, they felt that Krishna was personally there. So their feelings of separation were cured, and they no longer felt that the pain and suffering. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. One is a devotee of Krishna, one will always feel that he is not adequately serving Krishna. This is the mood of a devotee. He's always feeling that he is not adequate in serving Krishna, and that Krishna is not present. He's not deserving of Krishna's mercy. So he bases his life upon Srimad Bhagavatam. And by constantly hearing and relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, then the the mood of the devotee becomes absolved. That pain, the pain of separation from Krishna, becomes dissolved, and he goes on then that way serving Srimad Bhagavatam, just like the Shabaleshvas. They relish Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing it from Narada Muni, and went back home back to Godhead. So, the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Questions, comments from the learned Vaishnavas? Everyone's understood. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.